You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English, and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 217A by Rudolf Steiner, Essays and Addresses, translated by Catherine Krieger, entitled Youth and the Etheric Heart. This is Part 9, and this is the first section of Part 9. I'm calling it 9.1, and it's entitled Announcing a Section for Youth in a Newsletter from February 24, 1924. It has become evident that a section should be added to those the Executive Council of the Anthroposophical Society is already endeavoring to establish at the Goetheanum. If the Executive Council's intentions are met halfway by the people in question, forming this section is indeed feasible. Throughout the years, a certain contrast has always been recognized between youth and old age. This platitude offers consolation to many concerned about phenomena in the life of young people today. This facile consolation, however, is potentially harmful. The, quote, spirit of the present, close quote, should guide our understanding of both the questionable aberrations of today's young people and their all too justified striving for something other than what older people have to offer. Of immediate concern to us are the young people whose circumstances lead them to pursue academic careers. They are presented with academic knowledge, secure, solid knowledge that is supposed to fructify daily life. It would make no sense for us to complain about this knowledge after the manner of many lay people, yet we cannot deny that it petrifies young souls before they have a chance to recognize its solidity and fruitfulness. The greatness of science today is due to its vigorous opposition to a worldview that includes the spiritual since the middle of the 19th century. At that time it was recognized that human knowledge stands on shaky ground when the valleys of objective research are abandoned for the heights of an all-embracing conception of the world, Weltanschauung. Frightened by experiences of these heights, people then attempted to divorce science from the comprehensive worldview, which includes the spiritual. They clung to the, in quotes, facts in the valleys of nature and avoided the high paths of the spirit. For those who actively combated the mingling of science and spirit, opposition to the comprehensive worldview provided a certain inner satisfaction. Young adults today, however, are no longer happy with this antagonistic stance. The struggle against the uncertain and visionary character of the worldview no longer engenders satisfaction in their souls because it has died out, and so there's nothing left to fight against. Espousing the separation of science and the comprehensive worldview has become meaningless because the worldview that includes spirituality is dead. Out of the depths of undivided human nature, young people today have made an important discovery that is based on feeling rather than intellect. They have discovered that life without the all-encompassing conception of the world is unworthy of human beings. Many older people succumbed to the power of the proof, in quotes, against the comprehensive worldview. Young adults are no longer impressed with the power of rational intellectual proof. They instinctively sense that such proof is impotent wherever the human heart speaks out of invincible impulses. Young people are presented with scientific knowledge that owes its certainty to a total absence of the worldview that includes spirituality. The youth want this comprehensive worldview. Science, however, needs the perspective of youth. Here at the Goetheanum, we hope to understand young people and accompany them on their search for ways to achieve a worldview that includes spirituality. We hope that in the light of this all-encompassing worldview, true love for science will be engendered, rather than losing science in dreamy spirituality. We want to really find science through conscious spiritual experience. The Executive Council of the Anthroposophical Society seeks the understanding of young people. If this understanding is forthcoming, the section for the spiritual striving of youth will become a productive force in our life. Next is section 9.2, entitled On the Youth Section of the Independent School of Spiritual Science, Newsletter, March 9, 1924. 1. What I have to say on this subject to our older members. The announcement of the section for the spiritual striving of youth at the Gertianum has met with a resounding response from young adults. Representatives of the Independent Anthroposophical Society and younger members living at the Gertianum have informed the Executive Council of the Anthroposophical Society that they are ready to support the Executive Council's intentions with all their hearts. I see these two statements of intent as valuable starting points for a wonderful part of our society's work. If we succeed in bridging the gap between old and young in today's culture, the society will have accomplished something important. If we read between the lines of these letters, we can hear our young people speaking in a tone of voice that is new in humanity's development. We sense that their inner vision is not focused on preserving and supplementing our inheritance from the past. They are turning toward the dawn of a new life that originates in realms that reveal the eternal, free of temporal constraints. If we older people hope to be understood by today's youth, we must allow the eternal to become the driving force in our approach to temporal concerns. And we must do so in ways that young people understand. It has been said that young people are unresponsive to their elders and reject their hard-won insights and mature experiences. Such statements originate in older people's displeasure with the behavior of youth. It is true that young people have isolated themselves from older adults, preferring the company of their peers, and that they do not want to listen to what their elders have to say to them. This state of affairs is cause for concern, for these young people will also eventually grow old and abandon their current behavior. They want to be young in the right way and wonder what that entails. They will no longer be able to ask this question when they themselves grow old. In the opinion of older people, the young should lay aside their arrogance and look up to their elders to find the goal on which their youthful spiritual vision is focused. Such statements suggest that young people are at fault for not being drawn to older people. But if older people were truly old, young people would indeed look to them as examples. The human soul, especially when young, is naturally drawn to and attempts to unite with that which is foreign to it. But in older people today, young adults fail to see any human element that is both foreign and desirable, because these older people are not really old. They have absorbed a great deal of information and can talk about many topics, but this knowledge has not matured in them. They have grown older in years, but their souls have not kept up. What they say using their old brains is no different from what they once said using young brains. Young people sense this lack of maturity in older people. Instead, they sense young soul constitutions like their own, but in aging bodies, and they turn away because this discrepancy feels untruthful to them. For decades, older people have cultivated the notion that we cannot know anything about the indwelling spirit in the world's objects and processes. Young people who hear such statements naturally feel that older people have nothing to tell them. Young people are quite capable of not knowing without any help. They will listen only to old people who have actual knowledge. Talking about the impossibility of knowing is somehow tolerable if it is done with the freshness of youth. But hearing such talk coming from old brains is a desolating experience for human souls, especially young souls. Young people today turn away from older people, not because the latter have grown old, but because they have remained young. That is, because they don't understand how to grow old in the right way. Older people today lack this self-knowledge. Growing old in the right way means allowing the Spirit to unfold in our souls as befits an aging body. When we do this, we show young people not only what time has done to the body, but also what eternity reveals through the Spirit. Young people will find their way to older people who seriously attempt to experience Spirit. To say that we must act young when we are with young people is just an empty phrase. As older people, we must understand and demonstrate to young people how to be old in the right way. The young are fond of criticizing what comes toward them from older people, and they have every right to do so, because the burden of what older people have failed to accomplish on behalf of humankind's progress rests on the shoulders of the young. It is not appropriate, however, for older people to simply join in the criticism. To avoid confrontation, young adults may tolerate such behavior for a while, but ultimately they get tired of the overly strident tones of these old young folks. There is more vitality in the criticism of young voices. In the context of its search for Spirit, Anthroposophy is attempting to find a setting in which younger people enjoy associating with older people. The Executive Council of the Anthroposophical Society has every reason to be pleased at how its announcement has been received by young people. The Society's active members, however, must not leave the Executive Council in the lurch. In addition to positive responses, I have also received letters whose contents must be heard by all whose hearts belong to the Anthroposophical Society. Quote, there could come a day when we young people will feel obliged to break away from the Anthroposophical Society, just as inner reasons once compelled you to leave the Theosophical Society. Close quote. This day could indeed come if we in the Society fail to make the youth section a reality in the near future. It is to be hoped, however, that the active members of the Society will follow the lead of the Executive Council at the Gertianum, so that young people will increasingly feel the need to join forces with Anthroposophy. Today, I have been talking to older members about young people. In the next issue, I will speak to young people about what is on my heart. 9.3, Newsletter, March 16, 1924. Number two, what I have to say on this subject to our younger members. In the words of the letter sent to members by the Committee of the Independent Anthroposophical Society, on the occasion of my announcement of a section for youth, I consider the youth issue so important that it can become the subject of a spiritual scientific discipline of its own. This is indeed how I feel about this issue. Anyone who has read the account of my life in our weekly publication titled The Gertianum will understand why. When I was as young as those who speak through this letter, I felt quite isolated by a soul constitution that has now become evident among young adults in general. At that time, my age peers felt differently than I did. According to this letter, our culture no longer, quote, allows young people to acquire a comprehensive worldview in the course of preparing for a profession, close quote, and aspiring to such a worldview is incompatible with professional involvement. In my youth, this culture was still in its ascendancy, and young people experienced it as the flower or culmination of the latest stage in humankind's development. They felt liberated from the vagaries of ideological aspirations, and secure in the prospect of professions resting on the secure foundations of scientific knowledge. I too observed the flowering of this civilization, but I sensed that it would bear no real fruit for humanity. My young peers, swept along by the experience of flowering, felt otherwise. In their enthusiasm for the sterile flower, they failed to notice the absence of fruit. Today everything is different. The flower is faded, and instead of fruit we confront an entity that is remote from life and petrifies our humanity. Young people today feel the chill of a civilization devoid of spirituality. In contrast, my age peers still took pleasure in the sterile flower, at least in the superficial levels of their consciousness, because its sterility had not yet become evident. And as a flower, the bloom was indeed glorious. Enjoying its splendor, however, hid the deeper layers of our consciousness, the layers where our longing for true humanity is alive and invincible. Young people today can no longer take pleasure in the wilted flower. The uppermost layer of their consciousness has grown barren, and the deeper layers are exposed. The longing for an all-encompassing conception of the world is revealed in their hearts and threatens to wound their soul life. For young people today, being young exposes the longing for spirit and has therefore become a riddle to be solved. Although the age of light has dawned, it remains unrecognized because most human souls are still filled with the after effects of past darkness. But anyone who senses the presence of spiritual beings knows that light has dawned. I would like to ask the young people of today not to be too harsh on the old folks like me, who were young 40 years ago. Of course, some of us remain superficial and flaunt an emptiness that we mistake for superiority. Others, however, are simply resigned to a fate that has deprived us of the living, vital experience of our true humanity. Fate set us down in the last phase of the Dark Age, when experiencing matter dug the grave of spirituality. Today's young people, however, are standing at the grave and finding it empty. Spirit cannot die and cannot be buried. This light will become perceptible only when the riddles of existence are reborn and formulated anew. Being young is one of the first of these riddles. How do we experience being young in a world of age and rigidity? On the feeling level, this question is alive in young people today. Because being young has become one of life's riddles. Any active and vital attempt to solve it can happen only in the context of an independent, spiritual scientific discipline. In the context of this discipline, we do not talk about being young in empty phrases. Rather, we seek the light that must shine on youth so that it can perceive its own humanity. Today's young people aspire to a comprehensive worldview that will imbue their life's work with warmth. They are afraid of professions created by a civilization devoid of such a worldview. They seek professions that derive from our humanity instead of killing it. Finding one's place in the world without losing one's humanity in the process requires a living, vital relationship to the world on the soul level. Such a relationship, however, can develop only through the experience of a comprehensive worldview. This attitude frames the Executive Council's announcement of its efforts to bring young anthroposophists together in a youth section to engage in activity that acknowledges our true humanity. But there is one more thing I would like to say to our younger members. If we succeed in supplying the youth section with the right content, active anthroposophists who have understood how to grow old in the right way will want to make common cause with you. If this happens, I hope you will not say that you don't want to sit at the same table with old folks. Anthroposophy is supposed to be ageless. It dwells in eternity, where all human beings come together. You young people are seeking a field of activity within the Anthroposophical Society where you can be young together. But old anthroposophists, totally imbued with the life of anthroposophy, will be drawn to youth. They will discover that what they have acquired with age can be communicated best to young people. And young people will struggle in vain to achieve true humanity if they avoid contact with the maturity that will also come to them one day. In the cosmic cycle, what has grown old must always be rejuvenated, or it will lose its very essence and succumb to insubstantiality. And from anthroposophists who have grown old in the right way, young people will learn what they need to know to avoid experiencing their own aging as undesirable, yet inescapable. That's the end of the small section 9.3. This is now section 9.4. Newsletter, March 23rd, 1924. more of what I have to say to our younger members. Wherever the youth movement appears today, it arises out of a sense of something lacking. But what is missing? Our modern culture is full to overflowing with things worth knowing. Yet why does young people's conscious experience focus on a lack? The obvious conclusion is that this excess confuses young people so they cannot understand its contents. But experience shows that this conclusion is false. In fact, young people understand perfectly well what our civilization offers them. Anything that can be grasped through thinking can be understood. And in spite of its excesses, modern culture can be grasped almost entirely through thinking alone. When young people begin to relate to our culture, they realize that they understand it. Their healthy instincts tell them that understanding through thinking will be their destiny in the longer term. Understanding, in quotes, however, is not satisfying for young people. They need to experience with full hearts, with their entire souls, things that they are waiting to understand with maturity. Young people sense that growing old means gradually transforming experience into understanding. What today's young people receive from our culture allows people to grow old, but not to be young. Our civilization has almost nothing to offer the first phase of life. To absorb the contents of our culture on its own terms, we could not set foot on earth before age 20. Our civilization has lost the spirit. Its thinking encompasses only material things. Such thoughts can only be understood, not experienced. Once understood, they are incapable of transformation and lie heavy in our souls like stones. They are complete as soon as they arise. They are not capable of growth. But young people must grow, and they want the contents of their souls to grow with them. Real spiritual science also manifests only in thoughts, but its thoughts can be perceived and experienced. No one can receive them with a greater degree of maturity than he or she already possesses. These thoughts, like their human recipients, grow and mature. If I'm 18 years old and you present me with thoughts derived from the material world, I receive them in the same way that I would at age 40 or 50. But if people who are 70 make it possible for me to experience thoughts of spiritual origin, as they relate to those individuals' unfolding humanity, these thoughts unite harmoniously with the makeup of my 18-year-old soul and continue to grow and mature along with me. Materialistic ways of thinking and perceiving insist that young people fill themselves with old contents. But young people want to experience their youthfulness. Experiencing the old means missing their youth. The youth section at the Gurtianum wants to provide young people with living insight that allows them to experience their own youthfulness in a living and vital way. Today's civilization provides no thoughts that allow people to experience being young. Real spiritual science will provide such thoughts. When we older people hear young people talking today, we are often surprised at how old they sound. They are simply echoing what they hear from their elders. They take in old, in quotes, contents, but do not unite with them. They feel untrue to themselves when they attempt to experience them. They make statements they do not experience as true. Meanwhile, their own truth remains hidden within, unrevealed even to themselves. It suffocates them like a nightmare developing from within. Young people want to be free to breathe so they can make the nightmare disappear. They want to wake up into healthy perception of spirit and to be fully conscious of being young. The thoughts available to our materialistic culture, however, reduce awareness of youthfulness to the level of a dream, that is, a state of suppressed consciousness. As a result, youthful consciousness navigates the realities of the mechanical world in a suppressed state. The hammer strokes and electrical impulses of this world beat on young people's dreams, but cannot induce wakefulness, because they are not human. They exist outside of human beings. Spiritual science exists for souls who want to wake up. It attempts not only to convey knowledge, but also to make life accessible, to free people, to transform life into knowledge. Philistine, materialistic, would-be poets will object that taking away young people's dreams and waking them up would deprive them of the best of their youthfulness. Anyone who talks like this does not realize that dreams are most valuable when illumined by the light of wakefulness. Our mechanistic civilization does not shed joyful light on the dreams of youth. Instead, it crushes them as they arise and makes them burdensome and oppressive. What the youth section hopes to accomplish can be expressed here only in images such as this. The youth section will not publish programs, nor will it provide explanations of the, in quotes, essence of youth. It will attempt to allow life to arise from its young founding members' sense that something is missing. The result will be a, quote, wisdom of youth, close quote, that can continue to unfold anew each day. Beginning immediately after the announcement of the youth section, young people living at the Goetheanum have enthusiastically expressed their intention to work in this section. In my first appeal, I said that the youth section will be effective if its intentions are understood. I sincerely believe that enthusiasm will produce the right kind of understanding. I do not mean the rational understanding I mentioned earlier. Young people can do without that. I am using the same word to mean something quite different, namely the understanding that arises out of the whole human being instead of out of intellect alone. The Executive Council can only hope that its efforts will continue to meet with enthusiasm and that the life force of spiritual science will prove adequate to supply worthy efforts to support. The Executive Council aspires to live together with young people in such a way that they are able to bring their youthfulness to older people in true humanity. We believe that is what young people are lacking and what their hearts desire. That's the end of subsection 9.4. This is subsection 9.5, entitled On the Youth Section of the Independent School of Spiritual Science, Newsletter March 30th, 1924. Once again, I would like to address our younger friends in the Anthroposophical Society on the subject of the founding of the youth section. Within the circle of our young people, two contrasting opinions have become apparent. One group experiences a searching that feels inherent in being young. This group is drawn to Anthroposophy in the hope of finding what they are looking for. They realize that this search leads into the depths of the human soul, and that contemporary culture cannot lead us there. These young people seek esoteric knowledge because they sense intuitively that it is the only way to experience the true inner content of being human. These young people will find it easy to accept what the Executive Council of the Anthroposophical Society hopes to accomplish by establishing a section for youth. Although the primary concern and explicit task of the Executive Council is to cultivate esoteric activity, its members respect the independence of individuals and will not stand in the way of their personal efforts. In guiding the youth section, the Executive Council will ensure that esotericism is given its due, in the belief that a true youth wisdom can also be found in true esotericism. There is another group of young people, however, who have a different opinion. They will easily be tempted to interpret being young in such absolute terms that even striving for esoteric knowledge seems foreign to them. Their primary aim is to immerse themselves in their own youthfulness and to understand it, oblivious to anything that comes toward them from outside. Presumably, these young people also hope to find what they are looking for within the Anthroposophical Society. If that were not the case, they would not have joined. But they believe they need to bring the right spirit to Anthroposophy through their own youthful activity. It would not occur to the Executive Council to react to this group with superficial criticism. Nonetheless, Some of these young people will easily see the Executive Council's intentions in the wrong light. The Executive Council has come to the insight that the stream of eternity that young people are seeking flows in the esoteric knowledge to which the Anthroposophical Society aspires. This insight cannot be abandoned. In esotericism, young people will discover how to be young in the best and truest sense of the word. Knowing this, the Executive Council cannot make the mistake of believing that youthfulness itself is a prerequisite to the emergence of esotericism in its true form. My intention in making this statement is not to suggest a difference of opinion between some of our young members and the Executive Council, because I do not see any such difference. And in fact, no difference is possible in the context of a practical view of the world. The Executive Council, aware that its tasks derive from the spiritual world, will always follow the paths laid out in that world. In our particular field of activity, there can be no differences of opinion. It remains possible, however, for young people to take an opposing position by one-sidedly emphasizing a certain aspect of their own striving over another. This would cause immeasurable damage to the Anthroposophical youth movement. It will not happen, however, if young people pay closer than usual attention to a behavior they have learned from our culture, which has grown all too old. This is the tendency to speak in abstractions. I commented earlier on how poorly such abstraction is suited to youth, and in reality, no one in the youth movement wants it. Nonetheless, it is present when young people talk about youthfulness and about their ideals. It is an alarming bit of oldness in today's youth. Closer consideration, however, reveals the legitimate experiences of young adults as questions that the esotericism of the Anthroposophical Society at least attempts to answer. On the basis of this practical insight, it will certainly be possible to reconcile differences in individual opinions within our youth movement. Involvement with esotericism offers a way for young people to transform their vague ideals into reality. For some of our young members, direct experience of esotericism could easily remain concealed behind a curtain of theoretical old talk. This way of talking, however, is an acquired behavior, not intrinsic to youth. If young adults understand themselves, they will also understand the Executive Council of the Anthroposophical Society. That's the end of subsection 9.5. This is subsection 9.6, entitled The Independent School of Spiritual Science. In the school of spiritual science, the immediate human element must come into its own. Newsletter, April 6, 1924. This institution cannot develop from the top down on the basis of abstract speculation. It must develop from the bottom up, out of the needs of our membership. The Executive Council's plan to establish a youth section is based on the deepest aspirations of young adults in the Anthroposophical Society, and this section will take shape in a way that addresses their needs as they emerge. The same must also become true of the other sections. For this to happen, however, all needs that emerge among our membership really must flow through the society as a whole and ultimately come together in our expectations vis-à-vis what we expect at the Gertianum. We must become increasingly aware that the purpose of the Christmas conference was not simply to form an administrative board. We must not forget that administration is necessary and must be implemented with care and precision. The main issue is, however, for our membership to truly see the Executive Council as the focus of the society's spiritual interests. All of these spiritual interests must flow together in the Executive Council. It should never occur to this Executive Council to attempt to limit the initiatives of individual parts of the society in any way. Rather, we should all feel the need to bring everything that appears in the context of the society to the knowledge of the Executive Council, so it can then harmonize the intentions of one group of individuals with the aims of another. This Executive Council will not attempt to work one-sidedly from the top down, as public authorities do. Its job will be to present an open, understanding heart and mind to whatever the membership attempts to bring to fruition. In turn, it hopes that its own initiatives, on behalf of the Anthroposophical Movement's goals, will be actively accommodated by the members. This is what I meant when I said at the Christmas conference that this Executive Council will be one that takes initiative. The more we see the Executive Council in this light, the more it will be able to offer appropriate advice in all matters of concern to the society. The Executive Council's intention is to, in quotes, advise, rather than to, in quotes, decree, which would be completely at odds with the spirit of the Anthroposophical Society, as the Executive Council well knows. In offering advice, it will appeal exclusively to our members' independent insight. But the Executive Council's advice will be appropriate only if all members feel the need to keep it informed of their intentions and efforts. To the extent possible, the Executive Council at the Gertianum wants all of its resolutions and programs to relate directly to activity within the society. It is the hope of the Executive Council that the immediate human element, which also works in all details in highly individual ways, will come into its own in our society, especially with regard to what must be done on behalf of the independent school of spiritual science. And that is the end of part 9.